But I need to start off today by telling you something that God is definitely not doing. This is something that I'm doing. It's something you definitely don't want to hear your preacher say. And it's that I have an addiction. Not the best opening line for a sermon ever, but I have an addiction, and it's actually a drug addiction. And before we jump off a cliff here, I'm going to recover real quick. I'm addicted to caffeine. Caffeine is the second most addictive drug in the world behind heroin. If you didn't know that, caffeine is actually a drug. It's a psychoactive drug that blocks something called adenosine in your brain. Adenosine is what slows you down. It makes you feel tired. It's what tells your brain, like, hey, you need to go to bed. And caffeine, as we all know, prevents you from being able to receive that adenosine, being able to have your brain get it. But here's where the problem comes in, is when you drink caffeine, you might not be able to feel the adenosine, but the adenosine, what makes you tired, is still there. And so if you're an addict, like me, you get really tired when caffeine leaves your system. And I've been trying to cut caffeine out of my body for the past, like, 2 years. About 2 years ago, this addiction peaked, and I'm trying not to look at the doctor in the room, because I was drinking over 600 milligrams of caffeine a day, maybe more at some times, which is enough to, like, kill a horse. And so I love energy drinks. I love soda. I would just consume caffeine. And so I've been trying to kind of wean myself off of that over the past couple years, and really been hitting it hard over the past month. I'm down from, at the beginning of the month, I was about 400 milligrams a day. I'm now down to like 75, which I'm not cutting caffeine completely because I want to be happy. But when I cut caffeine, it was funny, Dave, but it wasn't that funny. When I cut caffeine, I got really tired because my brain was now like, oh, adenosine, nice, you're tired. And I could have fallen asleep anywhere. The first sermon of this series, I could have fallen asleep on the staircase in front of you guys in the middle of a sermon, concrete, sitting, standing, no problem, all because I didn't have this addictive psychoactive drug that I have a deep and passionate love for. Now my body's sleeping better, I'm relaxing better, I'm resting better, I'm probably healthier, a little less happy, as I said, but, you know, that's to come. And all this started because I listened to a podcast that spent 3 hours talking about what caffeine does to your body. And it was with a neuroscientist and a doctor, not an influencer tinfoil hat podcast. You guys know I love my tinfoil hat people. This is not one of those moments. But it convinced me to move to action because I heard what the truth of what caffeine does to your body is. And so I was like, well, I need to cut back. Caffeine's not terrible for you, but, you know, 600 plus milligrams a day is not the best. And what I'm learning is that when we hear things that we're being unhealthy, when we hear that we're being unhealthy, when we hear that we need to change, that something is hurting us or we're hurting someone else, it moves us to change. We talked about that last week with injustice. When we see injustice in the world, it moves us to change. The same thing is true with the truth. When we hear the truth about something, truth moves us into action. And maybe the truth is of what caffeine does to you, and you hear that you're not supposed to have 600 plus milligrams a day because your heart might explode, and that's not good for you. The problem with it is it made me feel great. I loved drinking that much caffeine every day. I mean, I would go to the gym and I would drink a Bang. If you don't know what a Bang is, it's an energy drink. It's about yay big. It has a warning label that says, do not consume more than 3. You will die. And I would chug one before the gym because it would make me feel electric. I would feel like I could conquer the world. I could lift heavier weights. I could climb better in the gym. I was doing better things. And so I thought I was doing the right thing for my body, and I thought it was great. The problem is that sometimes we think we're living the right way. We think we're doing the right thing, but it's not the right thing at all. And that's the question we're asking today is, am I really doing the right thing? Am I really living in the truth? Because sometimes I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. Sometimes I see injustice in the world. Like we said last week, we can see injustice in anything. So sometimes I feel like I'm doing the right thing, but are we really doing what God wants us to do? The absolutely correct thing. And because we can't go through every action, we're going to talk about how to connect with the truth today and how to love people better through it. And we've been going through this series, Love Better, where we read through 1 Corinthians 13 on how to love the way Jesus wants us to, how to love people better, and we're breaking it down verse by verse, word by word. And if you weren't here last week, we're hanging out in the same verse, and I highly suggest going back and listening to last week's sermon, because this is a to-be-continued sermon. There's a dot, dot, dot from last week going into this week. You can catch it on YouTube, Spotify, Facebook. You can find that wherever you want, but we're continuing in 1 Corinthians 13:6, which says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love does not delight in evil. We talked about that sentence last week and how the word evil could be and sometimes is translated as the word injustice. And so we talked about what injustice is, how we see injustice, the lens we look through, and how we can combat that in our world. So love does not delight in injustice, but rejoices in truth. And today we're going to be diving into that truth, the opposite of injustice. And so I want to start off by saying today we're not talking about your truth, which is a common phrase we hear in our culture, because just like injustice, truth is a hot topic. We hear the truth word thrown around a lot on completely opposite sides of conversation. And also just like injustice, there's not a good definition for truth. We don't talk about what truth is in culture. We don't talk about what injustice is in culture. And so we have vague definitions of those. So we're going to dive into scripture, see if we can find a definition for truth in the Bible, and then see how to apply that to our life. So we're going to start in John 17:17, where it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God is truth. Not only is it truth, but the word of God creates sanctification, which is the process of making things holy. So truth is the word of God, and truth sanctifies us. We move on to John 8:31-32. It says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you hold to the teachings of Christ, you're a disciple of Christ, and by doing that, you know the truth, the teachings of Christ are truth. And when you live in that truth creates freedom. 2 John 1:2-3, because of truth, which lives in us, so truth is with us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. So truth travels with us. Jesus said when he was here on earth, he said, I must go so that something greater might come. And that gift, that greater thing, is the Holy Spirit that we talk about so often. And so the truth travels with us through God's Spirit. The truth is his word. The truth is Christ. And then our last one is in John 1:17. It says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth comes from Jesus, the teachings of Christ. Truth comes from God. Truth comes from Scripture, his word. And we don't get to hear Christ preach today. He's not standing on the stage. He'd be a lot better than me. God doesn't speak audibly, at least to me. He might to you. I think that would be cool. But God doesn't really talk to us verbally anymore. And so what we have as truth, what we have as God's words and God's action, is Scripture. Scripture is where we find truth today. This is where Christ led by example. It's where it lays out his commands. And at The Cove, we believe that truth is not what you want it to be, but what God has already decided it to be. Truth is not what you want it to be. It is what God has already decided it to be. And so truth comes from the mouth of God, and we have it now in Scripture. And because we can't cover Scripture cover to cover, we're going to dive into a letter John wrote. 1 John, we're going to be in chapter 3. And he talks about how to love people better in 1 John. And he talks about how to love them better through truth. So 1 John 3:18, let's dive on in. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Your words are still important, but we've got to show it, right? He goes on, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, Christ's presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases us. So our heart, as long as it's in rest with God, will tell us whether we're doing good, whether we're doing bad, and what's going on. And this is the command. This is how we know we're living his command. This is the command of Christ, of God, to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as himself. Or if I can say it away, Scripture says it often, love God and love people, kind of what we're talking about through this series and what we talked about last week. Love your neighbor as yourself. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So I think John's being a little poetic there, and so let's parse it up a little bit. Verse 18, he starts with, let us not love with words or truth, but with or words or speech, but with actions and truth. So we can't just say that we're going to love people. We can't just say that we're going to do the right thing. We actually have to go and do it. We've learned through this whole series of Love Better that love takes movement. Loving better means doing something. It's action. It's going out and doing it. If all we do is say it and we don't actually do it, it's not love, it's lies. If all we do is talk and we don't walk, we're just lying to people. And we're going to dive into that a little more next week. Paul starts off by just saying, hey, you've got to tell the truth, and we've got to do the truth. And here's how we know that we're aligned with the truth. We know this, that we are in the truth. We know we're in the truth when our heart is in Christ's presence. And here's what that looks like. For this process to work, it has to be with God in his presence. We fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit that travels with us, and our heart condemns us on right or wrong. And we all know what it feels like for our heart to condemn us on the wrong side, right? We've all sinned. We've all done something bad. We've disappointed a parent. And we know that like deep yearning that we get, that unsettling feeling right in the pit of our chest when we know we're not doing good, that darkness and longing to make something right, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the heart condemning us on what is good and what's not good. Because what condemns the heart moves us to action. We talked about that last week with injustice. Where we see injustice, that moves us to action. And the same is true with truth, because truth guides our heart. And we said these two words make up the lens we look through. We said we got to look through God's lens. We look through in injustice and truth. And so where our heart lies, where the truth is for us, moves us to action, moves us to keep his commands, as 1 John says, which that command is believe in the name of Jesus and love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to ask a question, because this scripture is under the veil that our heart is resting in God's presence. What if your heart isn't in his presence? What if your heart isn't with God? Then what's condemning you? What's moving us to action? Because just like last week, we have to make sure we're putting on the lens that God wants us to look through. And I think sometimes Christians, they skip the what's condemning my heart part, where my heart's resting part, and they move straight to the action part, and then they credit whatever they do to God without actually looking at what God wants from them. And if God's not the one condemning our heart, then God won't be the one moving us into action. And here's where I see it. Did you hear this on the news? We need to change because of what was said in the news. Why aren't you all siding with this candidate, this person? Because I heard the truth. We say that. We say the truth. I heard on CNN, Fox. I read it on X. If you still call it Twitter, it's Twitter. YouTube, whatever. And the news isn't bad. Being political is not bad. I slam politics all the time up here, but I'll be voting this next week. I think it's important as an American to go out, do your part, vote. We want you to vote, but we want you to vote through the lens of Scripture, not through the lens of a news media. But here's where I see it, because 9 times out of 10, when somebody talks to me about changes people need to make, and we're talking about loving better. Last week we said anybody outside these walls deserves to be inside these walls. 9 times out of 10, when somebody here talks to me about a change somebody out there needs to make, their evidence is not Scripture. Their evidence is news. Their evidence is media, social media. TV, a friend group. I almost never get pulled over and ask, man, I was reading scripture today. And God said this. This is cool. Almost never. Almost never does somebody pull me aside and go, man, I was spending time in prayer over X, Y, Z, and God laid this on my heart. We allow our hearts to rest in the wrong place. Where our heart lays, action will follow. If our lens of injustice and our lens of truth is that through media, a news outlet, a political campaign, social media, a friend group, you will never be able to hear what God wants you to hear clearly, because the lens that you're filtering through isn't from God. We need to care a lot less about what people say and a lot more what God has to say. And so kind of a side challenge for this week, challenge you this week, is when you're talking with church people, that's us, by the way, we're the church people. When you're talking with church people and politics comes up, because politics is going to come up, if you don't know, I hinted at it already, there's kind of an election going on. People say it's a big deal. It might be. But when politics comes up, just ask, what does the Bible have to say about this? What does the Bible say about this? How does Scripture say we should treat these people? How would Jesus handle this situation? Because Kamala Harris and Trump and J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, they're not Scripture. I don't care how they handle the situation, and neither should you. We should be putting on the lens of Scripture, looking through the Bible and going, what does the Bible say about this? How does the Bible say we should treat these people? How would Jesus handle this situation? Because the filter we need to put information through, and the filter we do put through most of the time, is not correct. Because for us to love in truth means that God has to have our full heart. If we're condemned by the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or what we read on X or the YouTube video that we watched, and not by Scripture, we aren't loving in truth. We're loving in selfishness. We're loving in what we want, not in what God wants. And I have more conversations in the atrium of this church, this one. I have more conversations about, man, I love what this politician said or this news person said. And I have very few conversations about, man, look at what God said. Look at what Scripture's saying. Look at what God did in someone's life this week. And I love how 1 John 3:24 caps this section of Scripture off. It says, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. I think we struggle to connect with God's Spirit. And around a year ago, I stood up here and I asked you guys to pray one prayer. It said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Every day, multiple times a day. And I had people coming up to me the next Sunday, and this has nothing to do with me. I'm not the special sauce. It's all credit to God. But I had people coming up to me a week later going, man, I have so much love in my heart. Because when we love people better with the Spirit, when we ask the Spirit to fill our hearts and guide us in truth, we will love through God's lens, and we will feel that love coursing through us better. We have to fill ourselves with God's Spirit. But like I said, I think we struggle to connect with the Holy Spirit. And for us to love better today means loving them with the Holy Spirit, which I think is a kind of a weird sentence to say, to love someone with the Holy Spirit. Because like I said, I think we struggle to connect with that Spirit. We live in a concrete world, an instant gratification world. If I want something, I can pull my phone out of my back pocket, and I can have something delivered to my house from Amazon in 5 hours. If it's a big item, maybe in 2 days. If it's really big, maybe by Friday. We live in an instant gratification world. It doesn't take long to get stuff. We have food, water, shelter, technology, all of this readily available. And I think God thinks it's awesome that, I think it's awesome that we live in that world. God doesn't hate us for living in that world. I think it's really great. He loves everyone, and he loves where we've come technologically. But it causes us to rest outside of God's presence, because I'm not reliant on him for everyday needs anymore. We don't know what it's like to rely on God the way a lot of people over the course of history have had to rely on God. And people in other countries still have to rely on him today. And the funny part of that whole topic is, we probably have the most access to God's word today than any time period before us. We have the most access to God's word today than any period before us. I can pull it up on my phone, my iPad, my Kindle, my laptop, my home computer. I have 6 different translations in my office. We can listen to people talk about it on podcasts. I mean, we upload our sermons just like every church in America to Spotify, Apple Music. We can listen to people talk about Scripture. We can go on YouTube and watch people break Scripture down. We can go and listen to podcasts on Scripture. We have all this access to Scripture more than anybody's had in the history of the world before, yet we're not reading it. Every church study shows that people are reading their Bible less now than ever before. The church, and I'm not talking about Swiss Cove, I'm talking about the American church. The church opens Scripture very rarely. And then we have the audacity to ask why we feel so distant from God. Why we don't feel God's Spirit resting in us. Why we don't know the truth. Because the truth is found in Scripture, in Christ, in God, in His actions, in His words. Truth is found in that book that we hold so valuable. Truth is found in Scripture. And if we don't open that book up, we're not going to be resting in God's presence. You won't know what He wants you to do. We won't know the commands to follow. Our heart won't be with there. And where our heart is, action follows. The book was written to make sure our heart was moved into action by the right thing. It tells us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's there so we know the commands to follow. It's there so we have access to the truth. And if you want to love people better in truth, it takes opening up Scripture and connecting with God's Spirit that He gave us. Love does not delight in injustice, but rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in truth. Love looks through God's lens. The lens of injustice, the lens of truth, are what make up God's prescription. And when we love better in God's Spirit, we love through God's lens. When we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and we connect in God's Spirit, connect in God's Word, He'll move us into action. So as we go into this next time of worship, I have a question for you guys to think over. And it's, what's convicting your heart to action? What's actually causing you to want to make changes? Is it America? A certain friend group? Social media? TikTok? Podcast telling you to quit drinking caffeine? Or is it the Word of God and Scripture? What's convicting your heart? Where is your heart lying? Let's go and connect with that Spirit now.